Good evening, everyone. We'll make a wee start just to our meeting tonight by singing together the hymn number 203 in our own hymn book. It's the first hymn in the order of service. It's a wonderful hymn of testimony. The hymn writer says, I was sinking deep in sin, sinking to rise no more, overwhelmed by guilt within. Mercy I did implore. Then the Master off the sea heard my despairing cry. Christ, my Saviour, lifted me. Now safe am I. And praise God, when we know Christ as Saviour, we're safe and secure in the hand of the Lord for time and all of eternity. We'll keep our seats while we sing, singing it unto the Lord as our sister leads us in the organ, please.
Singing, the Lord bless the great truths of that great hymn,
to our hearts tonight. We're going to just seek the Lord at the beginning of our meeting tonight, praying that the Lord will draw near and that we'll know His help and we'll know His blessing. Now, if we have the blessing of the Lord with us tonight, that's all we need. And that's the all-important matter. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come, O God, before Thee tonight in the Saviour's precious and worthy name. We come, O God, in and of ourselves unworthy. Yet, O God, we thank Thee tonight that we are accepted in Christ. And we thank Thee, O God, for the blood of Christ that cleanseth us from all sin. We thank Thee, Heavenly Father, for the perfect righteousness of Christ that has been imputed to us as the people of God. And we thank Thee tonight that truly we can sing and say of Christ that He is Jehovah Sekenu, the Lord our righteousness. Father, we praise Him. We thank Thee for the words of this hymn that we've been singing. How the hymn writer could say, love lifted me out of the angry waves, out of the place of despair. And Father, we thank that this is indeed our testimony tonight as the people of God, for each and every soul in this meeting that is saved by Thy grace. We thank Thee, Lord, that Thou hast saved us from a lost eternity in hell, that Thou hast saved us from going down into the pit, and that Thou hast established us on the way to heaven, and hast established our feet upon the rock Christ Jesus. And Father, we come to Thee tonight in His name. We thank Thee, Father, for Thy blessings to us throughout this Thy day. We thank Thee for this day of rest, this day of worship. We thank Thee, Lord, for Thy presence and blessing with us this morning in the house of God and all who gather to hear Your word. But Lord, we do need Thee afresh tonight, O Lord. We cannot rest upon past blessings. Without Thee, we can do nothing. And Father, we would pray tonight from this opening hymn to the last amen, that there might be a very gracious, conscious sense of the presence of the Lord in this meeting house tonight. It is Thy presence, O Lord, that makes the feast. And Father, we pray that Thou will close out every distracting thought and care that is not of Thee, that Thou would fix every heart, every mind upon the Lord. Thou said Thou will keep them in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon Thee. When we think of Isaiah of old, how he could say, I saw the Lord high and lifted up upon the throne. And Lord, that would be our prayer tonight, that we might see the Lord. That, Lord, Thou would fix our gaze upon the man of Calvary, the man of God at Thy right hand. And that, Lord, we pray that every believer in our meeting tonight would be blessed and encouraged, that Thou, Lord, will strengthen Thy people. We thank Thee, Lord, that Thou art one that has said, I will never leave Thee nor forsake Thee. And we thank Thee, O God, that Thou hast promised to be with us in all the storms of life. And Father, we thank Thee that Thy grace is sufficient for our every need. And Lord, bless and encourage and edify and strengthen the people of God in this gospel meeting this evening. For any going through times of testing and trial, we pray that Thou will give them great grace and strength and help, we pray. For any, Lord, that might be cold at heart, give that restoring a touch from the Lord. We thank Thee that Thou dost delight to commune with Thy people, and Thou dost delight in Thy people seeking after Thee. And Father, we thank that Thou said that if we seek Thee and search for Thee with all our heart, Thou said that Thou shalt be found of us. And for Father, for any with us tonight, old or young, not saved, Lord, speak to them. And Father, we pray that Thou will cause them to see their need as a sinner lost and undone before God, that Thou will cause them, Lord, to see their need of Christ and their need of salvation. And Father, we pray that Thou will give them the grace, O God, this night to seek the Lord, to call upon Him for salvation. We thank Thee that there's a welcome for the sinner at the foot of the cross. And we pray tonight that such would look away from self and look away from sin and look to Christ, whom to know is life eternal. Bless our meeting to this end. Lord, visit this gathering with salvation. And may we go home rejoicing tonight and knowing the blessing of the Lord that Thou hast been in the midst, saying it was good for us to have been here, for here we met afresh with Thee, our God and our Savior. Remember all those also listening in online, whoever they might be, wherever they are, Lord, bless them and speak to them from Thy word. Do remember all the families and households, Lord, connected with this church and congregation. Do unite every family circle in the Lord. Remember those who are sick and ill at this time, lay Your touch upon them. Others that are shielding, grant them Thy protection, we pray. And Father, O God, for those that have suffered loss in recent times,
Comfort them, we pray. By the grace and power of God, we ask. Bless every outreach from this congregation. Remember the work of the Bethel Children's Crusade this week. Bless each meeting. Give help in all the meetings. Bless all who will take part. And other doors that may be closed at this time, even soon in the will of the Lord, may they be reopened again, we pray. And bless also, Lord, our brother Colin and the open air ministry in the different parts of the province with our brother Shields. Bless them, go before them and with them, and use them for the glory of the Lord. Again, Lord, we pray for our Lamb tonight. Bless every faithful ambassador of the cross. Remember, O God, wherever thy word is faithfully preached, we pray that thou wilt own it and that thou wilt bless it, O God, that thou wilt use it, Lord, to the pulling down of the strongholds of Satan, and that thou wilt use it, Lord, to the extension of thy kingdom. Remember our missionaries as well, at home and abroad. We commend them, O God, each one to thee. The Lord bless them and be with them and encourage them greatly in the Lord. So, Father, abide with us now, we pray. Shut us in with thyself. Do every heart much good. Lead and guide and direct by thy Holy Spirit in the remainder of this meeting. And have thy way in all our hearts. For we do pray and ask all these things for Jesus' sake and glory. Amen. Now we're going to turn tonight, please, in God's Word for our Bible reading to the Gospel of John. We're turning to John's Gospel, the chapter number 5, the 5th chapter of John's Gospel. And we're just reading from verse number 17 of the chapter, just going down to the end of the verse number 29. John's Gospel, chapter number 5, beginning our reading the verse number 17. Let us hear the word of the Lord as we read it together this evening. John's Gospel, chapter 5, and the verse number 17. But Jesus answered them, "My Father worketh hitherto, and I work." Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth. He will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honour the Son even as they honour the Father. He that honoureth not the Son honoureth not the Father, which have sent him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." Amen. We'll end our reading there at verse number 29. And our prayer is that the Lord will bless this public reading of his eternal and infallible word to all our hearts. Let me welcome everyone tonight in the Lord's great name. It's good to see so many gathered with us here this evening hour. I know it's a bit like winter outside. You nearly have all seasons in one day now, this last wee while. It's good to see you coming along tonight, and our prayer is the Lord will bless you tonight around God's Word and around the throne of grace and prayer and the praises of the Lord. And if you're here tonight and you're not saved, prayer is that you'll come to know and trust the Lord for salvation. You know the blessing of sins forgiven. And if you're a believer in the Lord, may you be blessed and built up in the ways of the Lord. And again, a welcome to those viewing online as well. Wherever you are, wherever you might be,
We pray the Lord will bless you this evening also through the ministry of God's precious word tonight. Now the announcements for the week are as follows. Tuesday night, 8 p.m. here in the church, we're having a special missionary prayer meeting. Our brother, Mr. Robert McConnell, a children's evangelist, with our mission board, will be along to bring God's word, give a report and an update in his ministry. He'll be doing a PowerPoint presentation as well, and then there'll be an offering for that work. So do remember that. Do pray for our brother as he comes, and do come along, and you'll be encouraged. Even with all the restrictions and things that are happening, still the word of God is going out to the boys and girls. And our brother will be giving you an update on what's been happening over this last year or so. So remember that. Do come along and encourage your brother, and you'll be blessed also through his ministry. Thursday night, 8 o'clock, there's a meeting of the church committee. Ask the brethren just to remember that on Thursday evening. Friday, 6:30, the weekly children's meeting here. Also on Tuesday night, 6:30, the weekly children's meeting in Tresna. And then 8 p.m. here on Friday night as well, the youth fellowship. We commend that to all the young people. Trust as many as possible will gather for that season of fellowship around the Word of God. Next Lord's Day, the 16th of May, Sunday school and Bible class, 11 a.m. A morning worship, 12 noon. We'll be along to bring God's Word. And then do remember the special Thanksgiving service for the centenary of Northern Ireland. That will be next Sunday, next Lord's Day afternoon at 3:30, 3:30 in the afternoon. Guest soloist, Mr. George Walker, brother Mr. Colin Maxwell, will be telling just of the history of the establishment in Northern Ireland, giving an update really on that and the historical setting, and we'll be bringing God's Word. So remember that, pray for it. Encourage you to make it known. Do all you can to invite others in. There's invites for it out there on the table in the porch. And then do also note in kind of the afternoon service, there'll be no evening meeting. So if you turn up at 7 o'clock next Sunday night, you'll be here on your own. So do remember that, please. Also, a word of thanks to all who gave to the offering, to Mr. Gareth McDowell, labouring in the Philippines, came to £569, for which we thank you sincerely in the Lord. Also, thanks to all who were able to give to the building fund offering last week, came to £845. We thank you sincerely. Do please pray, as we mentioned this morning, for the distribution of a gospel booklet. Our session and committee are seeking to send this out via the post to every household in County Fermanagh. So do pray for that. It's just a gospel message and the little text, God is love, that we've compiled. And we ask you to pray for this in the coming days as it would go out and be well received into the homes around Fermanagh, and that God would use it to speak to hearts and to save souls and to bless his people. The Vision magazine is available as well, and then can also draw your attention to some booklets. They're free there. They're out there sitting in the table in the porch. These were discovered upstairs yesterday when we were tidying up. One is called In Sight of Home, A Story of Covenanters by the Reverend David Linden. And then is there still a cause about the Free Presbyterian Church by Dr. Alan Kearns, the late Dr. Alan Kearns. Those are free. Take them and give them out to friends and family. They're there out on the table on the porch. Word of thanks to all the men who helped with the tidy up upstairs yesterday. That is much appreciated. The offering plates are at the rear. And then as a church, we want to just, as we mentioned this morning, express our sympathy to the Vance family. Our sister, Mrs. Violet Vance, went home to be with the Lord last week. So do remember that family in your prayers, that the Lord will bless them and the Lord will comfort them in their time of need and fill that vacant chair with a gracious sense of his presence. That's really all by way of announcements. We're going to turn again in God's Word to John's Gospel, chapter number 5. John's Gospel, chapter number 5. And perhaps before we come to the preaching of God's Word, we can maybe just stand to our feet for a short word of prayer, just to change our position and just to seek the Lord for help in the preaching tonight. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy presence with us already tonight. We look afresh to Thee this evening to give help in the ministry of Thy Word. Thou said, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? And Lord, we're asking Thee tonight as Thy people, as a body of the Church of Christ, that Thou wilt infill us, outpour us, Thy Spirit upon us, upon preacher and upon congregation alike. Give help, O God, all that is needed for the season and the proclamation of Thy Word. Bless Thy Word to the saving of sinners, to the strengthening of the saints of God, to the glorifying of Christ. Hide me far behind the cross. Give right words, give clarity of mind and plainness and simplicity of speech. Give liberty in the preaching of your word. And let the word of the Lord have free course, and apply it by thy Spirit and power to every soul in this meeting and to all those that are listening in online as well, as I would see the need. For we ask all these things for Jesus' sake and glory. Amen. Now the text of Scripture that the Lord has laid upon my heart for this Gospel meeting tonight is verse number 24 of John's Gospel, chapter number 5. I read that verse with you again. It says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." Now, in this passage of Scripture that we've already read with you in the meeting tonight, the Lord Jesus Christ really is defending himself before the Jewish leaders and dignitaries of the day. These Jewish leaders really at this point were treating him like a criminal because he had healed a man on the Sabbath day. Also because he said and told them that God was his Father, that he was the Son of God. And in his defense, you'll see how Christ really highlights his deity, the very fact that he is equal with God, the Father. Look at what he says to them in verse number 19 of the chapter. It says, "Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he seeth the Father do, for what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise." And there he was telling them plainly that he was the Son of God, equal with God the Father. And then in giving his defense further, we see as well that Christ also reminds the Jews of his sovereignty. And this he does by speaking to them about the effectual call of God in the gospel. And that call is that call that whenever the gospel goes forth, the Lord works and he quickens sinners to new life. Indeed, he quickens those who were once dead in trespasses and in sins and all of that. You see the sovereignty of the Lord's power. Notice how he speaks to them about this very fact in verse 25 of the chapter. He says again, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live." Through the sovereign power of the Lord Jesus Christ, he is the one that causes dead souls to live. He is the one that brings new life to the soul that is dead in trespasses and in sins. As he reminds them that he was God's Son, he reminds them of his sovereignty and the power of God at work in salvation. And then the Lord also reminds these Jews about the very certainty of his salvation, the certainty of salvation for all who would trust him as Savior. And this he does in verse 24, the words of our text tonight, when he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." What a statement there he makes there in that verse 24 of the chapter. Now, as well as justifying Christ's action there and healing the man on the Sabbath, these words here in verse 24 also, they really destroy the false teaching that a person can never be sure of salvation. That is a false teaching that abounds down throughout the centuries of time, that a person can never be sure of being saved or never be sure of salvation. These words here, the statement of Christ here in verse 24, is a statement that really destroys and demolishes that false teaching, that a person can never be sure of salvation in this scene of time. Yes, there are many, and they will tell you that a person can never be sure of being saved this side of eternity. And my such thinking is encouraged in particular by the false teaching of Roman Catholicism. Well, in this world tonight, this world of,
of great uncertainty. Indeed, there are many uncertainties in this world. Praise God, a person can be sure. And a person indeed can be certain of God's salvation through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior. And this is what Christ is stating here. The certainty of God's salvation when he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth in him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." Here he speaks to you and I about the certainty of salvation. Yes, he was talking to the Jews who were against him that day about the certainty of his salvation. But he also speaks to you and I tonight in this gospel meeting through this same verse about the absolute certainty of salvation, the absolute certainty of being saved through faith in Christ as Savior. And that's really what we want to preach upon tonight, the certainty of God's so great salvation. If you and I would think tonight upon the certainty of God's salvation, notice first of all here with me how the sinner's great need is highlighted. Look again carefully at what Christ says in this verse. He says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." Notice there in particular how Christ makes mention of everlasting life. Notice also in particular how he makes mention there of the word condemnation. What is Christ saying here? What is he telling us? Here Christ here is telling us and showing us that man's greatest need is to have spiritual life in his soul. His greatest need is to have everlasting life, eternal life. He is also showing us and telling us that man's greatest need is that of being delivered from the guilt and the condemnation of his sin before Almighty God. Yes, dear people, whenever you look and I look at this verse and whenever we think, yes, of the certainty of God's salvation, yes, we can say that this great need is a need that applies to us all. None of us here are exempt from this need by nature. This is a need that applies to us all. Yes, we all need, every single one of us, spiritual life. We all need, every single one of us, everlasting life within our soul. Why? Because of our old sinful nature that we've been born with. And because of that sinful nature that we've inherited from Adam and Eve, by nature, you and I, we are dead to God. By nature, you and I have no natural desire, no natural inclination whatsoever toward God and the things of God. We are dead by nature, the Bible says, in trespasses and in sins. You remember how Isaiah the prophet describes man in his sin. He says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way." That speaks of man, the sinner, away from God and going away from God. Because of his sin. Yes, in the autumn time, the leaves and the trees, what happens to them? They die. They drop off. They decay. And likewise, because of sin, our soul is in a state of spiritual death and decay with no desire for God, naturally speaking. The Bible speaks of man, speaks of you and I and our sinful state and condition by nature before God. And the Bible says, "There is none that seeketh after God. There is none that doeth good, no, not one, in the sight of God." By nature, you and I, we need spiritual life. By nature, you and I, we need everlasting life. This life that Christ speaks of here in our text. But also by nature, you and I, we need deliverance from the very condemnation of our sin. We are guilty of sin in thought, word, and deed. And that sin by nature and practice, it condemns us to hell, condemns us to judgment. Yes, hell is that place of eternal judgment and punishment for sin after this life. And my, throughout the Bible, we're warned about that awful reality. Christ himself warns us time after time of the awful penalty of our sin. Turn with me in your Bible back to Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 25. and to the verse 41 and the verse number 46. Look at what Christ says here about man and judgment before God because of a sin. And look at the outcome of that penalty for eternity regarding the sinner. It says there in Matthew chapter 25, verse 41, it says, "Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." There Christ is warning us about the awful penalty of sin in the lake of fire. Again in verse 46 he says, "And these shall go away," he says, "into everlasting punishment." Hear the Lord Jesus Christ, he warns you and I about hell, the awful reality of hell. He reminds us about that awful place of punishment for sin, judgment for sin. My just, yes, as a criminal is sentenced because of his crimes to society, whatever those crimes are. So you and I, by nature, we face the penalty of a lost sinner's hell if we're not saved. That's what we face after this life. That's what we face after this world, after our time on earth is gone. After the vapor of our life is vanished away. After the brittle tread of our life is broken, if we're not saved, we face the penalty of sin. We face the judgment of God, the condemnation of sin, and a lost eternity in hell. We leave this world unsaved, under the judgment and condemnation of our sin, without everlasting life within our soul. As Christ here mentions these words, everlasting life, in this verse, and as he makes mention here of condemnation, yes, he shows us the sinner's great need. If you're not saved tonight, that's your great need, to have everlasting life, no matter who you are. Your great need tonight is to be saved from the condemnation of your sin that stands against you because of your sin against Almighty God. Yes, we see here that the sinner's great need. As well as highlighting the sinner's great need in this verse, which really teaches the certainty of salvation, we also see the Father's great gift. Notice the Father's great gift. And emphasizing, yes, the certainty of salvation, Christ here mentions the Father's great gift. Notice what he says in particular in the middle of verse 24 of the chapter. He says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." Notice there in particular that little phrase, "him that sent me." Christ there is speaking of the very fact that God the Father sent him into this world. And my dear, Christ is telling us how God sent him into this world to be our Savior. And friends, the gift of Christ, the sinless Son of God to this world, is the greatest of all gifts that God has given to this world and that God has given to man. We thank God for the gift of health and strength, food and raiment, our homes, our families, all the natural temporal blessings of life. Every good gift, the Bible says, comes from God, with whom there is no variableness, no shadow, nor tough turning. But the greatest of all gifts is the giving of a Son, the sending of a Son into this world. As Christ says there about the Father, he says, "him that sent me." He was sent by God the Father into this world. And in giving his Son and sending him into this world, God the Father did so out of eternal love for us. That is why he sent Christ to this world. Because he loved us. Because of a love that never dies, never decays. A love that is eternal, is without beginning, without end. Think of what you read in John chapter 3, verse 16. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." The Bible tells us that God is love. The very fact that God sent his Son into the sinful, fallen world, a world that really shakes its fist at God, Yet despite that God sent His Son into this world, it proves to you now without a shadow of a doubt that God loves us. It proves to you now that God's love is real, that God's love is genuine, that God's love is certain. Perhaps there's one in the meeting tonight and maybe you question God's love. Maybe you say in your heart tonight, how could God really love me? With all my sin and all that I've done against God. Maybe that thought's in your heart tonight. Maybe it has been in your thinking in recent times. But friend, the very fact that God sent His Son into this world, it proves that God does love you. It proves that the love of God, that love that is eternal. For in coming into this world, Christ came on God's rescue mission. He came here in God's rescue mission. He came to save us from our sins, from all that is involved in our sins, the ruin, the penalty of our sin. He came to save us from the awful consequences of our sin and from the judgment of our sin. The Bible says, yes, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And in coming to this world, Christ, He became our substitute. As the sinless Son of God, He died upon the cross in our place. And by His death upon the cross, He paid the penalty of our sin to God. He satisfied God's justice in full. When he cried out, "It is finished," the Bible says He offered Himself without spot unto God. And by His death, what did He do? He purchased salvation for us, for sinners like you and like me. He purchased pardon for our sins. He purchased eternal life, everlasting life, for sinners like you and like me. That's what He did. That's what He accomplished by His death upon the cross. You remember what Peter said of Christ? He says, "Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved." He came to bring you and I salvation. To provide salvation for our poor and needy souls. He came to redeem us from our sins. Turn with me in your Bible over to Ephesians chapter 1. And to verse number 7. And look at what Paul says about this very fact. Ephesians chapter 1 and the verse number 7, he's speaking here of Christ. And he says, "In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace." Paul in the Bible describes himself as the chief of sinners. When he was really guilty for the murder of Stephen, the first Christian martyr, he was there consenting to those that were stoning Stephen to death. He had sinned against God with a high hand. But here he tells, here he testifies, humbly before the Lord of what Christ has done for him, redeemed him. In other words, pardoned him, blotted out his sins before Almighty God. And that's what Christ accomplished. That's what He achieved by His death upon the cross. When He poured out His life unto death and cried out, "It is finished," and offered Himself as a once for all sacrifice for sin. He has purchased, He has provided a pardon that is full and complete. He says, I am He that blotteth out thy transgressions for my own name's sake." He came to bring us salvation. As the hymn writer says, He's the bringer of salvation. Just think, where would we be if Christ had never come? Think, where would we be if God did not love us and had left us to ourselves and left mankind to a sin and never sent a Son? Think of where we would be. We would have no hope whatsoever. We would be of all men most miserable. But God loved us in eternity past. He sent His Son in the fullness of His time to redeem us, to save us from our sin, to give us life, life abundant, life eternal. He says, "I am come that you might have life, that you might have it more abundantly." He says, "I am the resurrection and the life." How blessed is that life that he brings. That life here that is described in our text as everlasting life. Life that never ends. Never ceases. My, what life that is. Friend, at our meeting tonight, can I say this? This is the Father's great gift. There's no gift like it. The giving of a son. This is the Father's great gift for you and for me. It's the greatest of all gifts. The hymn writer was right when they said, "Oh, 'twas love, 'twas wondrous love. The love of God to me had brought my Savior from above to die on Calvary." Oh, the wonderful love of God sending a son. See the great gift here. The Father sent the Son. See the great need. You and I, we need everlasting life. If you're not saved, that's what you need tonight. We need delivered from the condemnation of your sin. If you're not saved, you need that condemnation of sin taken away. Notice one final thought here in this great statement regarding the certainty of salvation. Notice the Son's great promise. What a promise that is. Look again there in verse 24, John chapter 5. The Lord Jesus says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." Notice the promise there that he gives. He says, "He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me," notice it, "hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." There you have Christ's great promise. And you look at what he says, it's there before us in black and white. There's no maybes here. There's no buts here. There's no if souls here, so to speak. He says there, "He that believeth on him that sent me hath," it's certain, it's sure, "have everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." And you'll notice something else here. It's a promise that is doubly sure. Notice how Christ begins the verse. He says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you." And here Christ promises eternal life in heaven. That's the promise. That's the substance of it. Eternal life in heaven, pardon from sin, shall not come into condemnation, the forgiveness of all of our sins. And this promise, glory to God, is for every repentant sinner, whoever he is, whoever she is, who trusts Christ to be their own and personal Savior. You just turn the page in your Bibles tonight over to John 6, verse 47. Look at the promise again there. Christ is speaking. He says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am the bread of life. I am the source of everlasting life." Christ was saying, friend, this is what God offers you tonight in Christ. The certainty, the absolutely reality of everlasting life. The Bible again speaks of Christ and says in Acts 13, verse 39, "By him all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses." Speaks of the forgiveness of all of our sins through Christ. What a blessing to be able to lay your head on the pillow at night and to know that all your sins are forgiven, that they're dealt with, put away by the blood of the cross. What a promise this is. People, yes, can make you promises of the best will and the best intention in the world, but things can happen and those promises cannot be fulfilled. They may never come to fruition or realization. But this is not so with the promise of Christ. His promises are yea and amen. They're sure, they're certain. The promise is this, that if you believe on him as Savior, you will have everlasting life. You will be delivered from the condemnation of your sin. The Bible says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus." Turning your Bible over to 1 John chapter number 5. 1 John chapter number 5. And look again at what is stated here. Here's the truth of God's Word and how precious is the truth of the Bible. The truth of the Word of God. First John chapter 5, verse 11, verse 12, it says, "And this is a record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in the Son. He that hath the Son hath life." What a promise. He that hath the Son hath life. Friend, the promise here is that if you come by faith to Christ as a repentant sinner and trust Him to save you, and He will save you. No matter who you are, no matter what your sin is, no matter what your sin has been. Lord Jesus says, "Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." What a blessing to have eternal life in your soul. To have all your sins put away, blotted out, cast into the sea of God's forgetfulness. David rejoiced in that in Psalm 103. He spoke there of the Lord and to the Lord, and he says, "As far as the east is from the west, so far hast thou removed our transgressions from us." Are you longing this evening to have the assurance of eternal life, longing for the assurance of a home in heaven when you come to die and leave this world? Are you longing tonight for the forgiveness of all of your sins, to have your sins forgiven, to know for sure that your sins are forgiven, blotted out? Then come now tonight by faith to Christ. That's the way. Just as you are, come to Christ and trust Him to be your Savior. Let me say tonight that knowing that Christ is a Savior is not enough to save you. Knowing about Christ is not enough to save you. Rather, you've got to trust Him. You've got to rely upon Him. You come into the meeting tonight, you just sat down in the pew. You didn't question the pew. Was it strong enough to hold you? As I look at you tonight, there's none of you sitting half on the pew and with another foot on the carpet, so to speak, to hold you up. No, you've placed your full weight and confidence upon the pew to hold you up. You're trusting in it. You're relying upon it. And likewise, friend, I'm saying you've got to rely on Christ. Cast your all upon Christ. Rest upon Him alone for salvation. Depend on no one else, nothing else. None but Christ can do sinners good. The hymn writer says, "Venture on Him, venture wholly. Let no other trust in truth." In our verse here tonight, Christ gives you His word. This is not my word. Not the word of a church or word of any man. This is the word of the Son of God, Jesus, who says, "I am the truth." He gives you His word. That if you trust Him as Savior, He'll pardon all your sins. He'll give you eternal life. Praise God, as it says there, you will pass in a moment of time from death unto life. What a promise He gives you. And friend, the Lord, yes, when He saves you, He will keep you. That's the message of the gospel. He keeps those whom He saves. And friend, yes, this message of this verse here tonight, I believe, is the remedy. The remedy, yes, for all your doubts about salvation. This is the remedy for all your fears and questions about salvation. The Lord says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on Him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." There was once an elderly Christian lady, a woman who had been saved for many years, and she was asked the question, "Suppose that after all God should let you sink into hell." And the woman, she replied to that question, she says, "If God were to do this, then He would lose His good name. But that is something God can never do, for He is true to His word." And God is true to His word. The word of God is truth. This is the word that you can depend upon for your life, for your soul, for eternity. Friend not saved tonight in this meeting. Friend not saved listening in online. Trust Christ tonight to save you. Call upon Him. Look to Him by faith. Praise God, He will save you and He will keep you unto life everlasting. We're going to close our meeting tonight by
singing together the final hymn in her order of service. It's number 222 in her own hymn book. It's a wonderful hymn of invitation. It says, "Come, ye sinners, poor and needy, weak and wounded, sick and sore, Jesus ready stands to save you." That's how it is with Christ. He's full of pity, full of love, full of power. He is able. He is willing. Doubt no more. If you're not saved, and even heed the message of this hymn, come and trust Christ tonight and rest upon Him. We're going to sing the first two verses, verses 1 and 2, and then the last two verses, verses 5 and 6, just omitting verse 3 and verse 4. So verses 1, 2, 5 and 6, keeping our seats while we sing. One here tonight and you're not saved, I urge you to come to the Lord, seek the Lord. If I can be of any help to you after the meeting, don't go away without the Lord, without getting right with the Lord and trusting Him for salvation. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy presence with us here tonight. Bless Thy word, Thy truth to every heart. We thank Thee, Lord, for everyone in the meeting tonight who can rejoice
and everlasting life. Is that assurance within their soul? Who can say it as well with their soul? Who can rejoice in being delivered and saved eternally from the condemnation and guilt of sin? Lord, help us to rejoice in this. Help us to tell others about it. Lord, for any in the meeting tonight not saved, any listening in online unsaved that doesn't have this hope, Lord, disturb the sleep of death within their soul. And that, Lord, even tonight may the common faith and in repentance and trust the Lord Jesus Christ alone for their salvation. Give believing faith, Lord, and deciding grace to the end. Part us with your fear and favour. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the abiding fellowship and the communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with all who know and love thee this night and always. Amen and amen.